Hello, it's Sunday night. This is the Sunday Night Blessing, and we are here to talk about the good things of the Lord. I'm George Watkins. Thank you for spending a few moments on this wonderful Sunday night. Well, this is Father's Day. I just imagine that many of you had some gatherings with your children, grandchildren, or if you're a young father and mother, your little baby children, amen. Well, it's good to be a father in this Father's Day. I love the attention I get. I love the kind words that are spoken about me. I love to be the center of attention for a day. It's good for us, amen. Well, many fathers don't get that. And much of the year, we don't get much of that either. Doesn't mean that they don't love us. Doesn't mean that we're not part of the function of things that are happening. But these special times is when we like to acknowledge and say, Happy Father's Day, or I love you, Dad, or I really appreciate what you've done in my life, and thank you for discipline and correction and all those things. All right. Well, I've been a dad for almost 50 years and a grandpa now just 7 years. So I'm kind of new at the grandpa game, even though I'm catching on quick. And the grandpa is somewhat like a senior father. However, just a little different authority in our society. In some cultures, the grandpa and the senior people have a big voice. They sit in the home and still have authority over their adult children in a greater way than we do in America. Well, that's not my point today. My thought today, is there a father in the house and the influence that fathers have? I heard someone say just recently, someone that I respect as having understanding in these areas, talking about crime, talking about the breakdown of society and street gangs and all kinds of things like that. He said the major problem is that there is no father in the house. Well, the erosion and the elements that erode, some of it's done on purpose, is to break up the house, the home, and the family. When President Johnson, back in the early 60s, you remember he took over the presidency when President Kennedy was assassinated, he began to add some laws that have really devastated us. One of them, which is not an issue about fathers so much, but just about the spirit that was injected into our nation then. He was the author of the signer of the EPA. And the EPA is what has tried to control everything we do. If you've got a puddle of water on your property, the EPA has authority over that. Well, little exaggerated, but not much. And what's that done? It's given us layer upon layer upon layer of rules that are really hindering things. But what he also did was pass some bills and laws that had to do with if there's a man in your house, you don't get as much welfare. If the man is not in the house, you get a bigger check. What'd that do? That incentivized the man to leave the house, especially if they're not married, you know, if they were just a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a live-in partners, and they left the house. And some fathers abandoned the house so that the mother could get more money. Well, the result is, years later, we've got an epidemic of crime and so forth. Someone told me recently that the vast percentage of men in prison have had no father influence in their house, in their home. Okay. Well, the problems and the difficulties and the, you know, the crises that we see are pretty easy to identify. But the answer is always difficult to get, it seems. Simply said, we need to return, obviously, to the pattern. And the pattern is that he gave children to a mother and a father. All right. Well, our society has just gone crazy and high speed ahead toward destruction in this subject of male, female, and so forth. That doesn't change the gospel, doesn't change the laws of God, the rules of nature. What we do then as believers and those who adhere to the Word of God is that we take up our role, the role we have as a father. The role we have as a father has to do with something supernatural and spiritual. No father I know ever started out an expert. Matter of fact, most of us, I was a little older. I think I was nearly 30 by the time I had my first child. Many young men have the children in their early 20s or maybe late teens, and they're not much more than teenagers themselves, and they don't know what to do or how to do it. One of the wonderful things and the important things about being in a church family, a community of Christian people, is that you have training and you have examples of fathers. You have a senior in your group. You have a pastor who is no doubt older than you in most cases, not necessarily in years, but at least in experience. And you can watch the pattern. You can watch the pattern of a senior, older gentleman, man, father, and you can take advice from your elders, the ones who have been down the road, as they say, or around the block, and you can ask advice and miss some of the traps and the pit, you know, the pitfalls and so forth. That's why we hang around together. That's why we fellowship together. Advice and wisdom is passed on from the older generation to the younger generation. When I was a teenager, just about that time, the hippie movement was getting going. And the rebellion was running red hot. And one of the leaders of that rebellion made that popular statement, and it became a known fact. I mean, everybody believed it. There's nothing after 30. Anybody after 30, don't even listen to them. They don't know nothing. Well, obviously, those hippies grew up and became 30 and found out it wasn't true. But what it did, it sowed a seed into that generation not to trust your elders. What a curse that is when we don't trust those who have had experience. I had a father and a mother who were in my home until I obviously moved into my own. And then they were in my life up into my late 50s. I enjoyed their presence and their wisdom. I never missed calling them regularly, sometimes more than a few times a week. Some always on Saturday night to my mother. I would sit in my office studying for my sermon, and I'd call Mom, or she would call me, and she'd give me a couple of scriptures or a couple of words of advice, and I wrote them down, put them in my Bible. Why? Because a senior elder in my house spoke to me. My father was a mentor to me, both in natural things and spiritual things. Was he perfect? Well, no. Obviously, when I was 15 or 16, I thought he was unperfect. When I turned 21, I thought he was a genius. That's that, you know, that teenage whirlwind you get into. But he became and continued to be a wise counsel to me. And I want to tell you something that may, you know, surprise some of you and think it's strange. But he still is a wise counsel to me. He comes to me often in my thinking, in my memory, and in my dreams. I had an encounter in my dreams the other day, and he said something to me that spoke into my life. You say, oh, wow, that's weird. Well, that's my experience. And counsel, the cloud of witnesses is part of the counsel we have. The cloud of witnesses, that cloud, it's not just a mist or a mineral cloud, it's a company of people that is referred to as the cloud of witnesses. And their purpose to those who they have been delegated to is to help you fulfill your ministry, pardon my voice, and your life, so they will fulfill their life. For instance, my father had three children. I'm one of them. His ongoing generational blessing goes into my children, and then my grandchildren and their children. It goes on and on. I met one of the angels that I was acquainted with in the last few years, told me that he was the family angel. And he told me that he was introduced to Dad, my father, when my father got saved, born again, came to Christ in Long Beach, California. And that would be when he was 16. So it was about 1932. And that angel was assigned to the generational family line of my father. Now, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Well, that's my experience. And we live out of the fruit of the experience we have with Christ. That's my experience along the way as I've been introduced and as I interchange with the spiritual life of the kingdom of God. Part of that is knowing your angels, understanding who's working with you in the spirit, understanding how the Holy Spirit flows through your life, how the Word of God works in your life and for you and through you. All that's the experience of maturing and going forward in Christ. Amen. So, Father's Day, what a glorious time to celebrate. I pastored the last church almost 30 years. And in that period of time, we raised our children from just little chickens until they were adults. And they actually, at the end of the pastoral, left the church, left the home, and some of them left the city on their journey into their life and lifestyle. Went away to Bible school and college, came back, went away again, all those things. But in those days, we became an example, a picture pattern of how to raise children. And much of my teaching, much of my referencing and my illustrations came out of raising my children. Until my children became teenagers and they say, Dad, don't use us anymore in your sermons. Well, I was smart enough not to do that. You see, that's the instructions we have as we develop. We learn something and we give it, we pass it on. So today I pray and speak to fathers that are listening to this. And I speak to single mothers to be encouraged that God is your husband and he certainly covers you with the protection of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's not uncommon for a single mother to have a journey in a season and maybe for a longer season than usual. And in that time, God covers that position, that protection, that area where he gives you wisdom and strength. So even though we're celebrating fathers, doesn't mean we're missing the fact that the church, body of Christ, and the community of believers have that responsibility and joy of being a father and mother to the fatherless. The Apostle Paul came back into headquarters, into Jerusalem, where James was the head apostle and Peter and so forth. They were there. And he gave his revelation of Jesus Christ. And his revelation of Jesus Christ was extended beyond what they had. They were still pretty tied to the Jewish society and so forth, and even some customs. And they did not have the revelation of the Gentiles coming into Christ. To them, this was a Jewish thing so far. And so he gave them the revelation that God had come to the whole world, and that when Jesus rose from the dead, every human on earth was resurrected from the dead, and that God lives in every human on earth. You'll read that in the book of Galatians, where he's talking to the philosophers of the Greek philosophers. They're not Christians, but he says, didn't even your philosophers, your old wise men say that God is within you? You see, we miss the point when we talk about creation, that God created the human race and put himself in them. That's called life. The life you have and the reason you can breathe air is because God lives in you. Now, when Paul was sent out then from Jerusalem, he said, my mission to the Gentiles is to awaken them that God is in them. Now you'll see a little phrase in the book of Acts where he was on the road to Damascus, and the bright light knocked him off, you know, off the donkey, and he and Jesus came to him. And there's a phrase in there that says that he made known that God was in him. So the message that Paul took was to the Gentiles, hey Gentiles, wake up. God is in you. And you have been blinded by your minds. Your minds need to be awakened to the God that is already there. Quite a message. Now, that's that Father Spirit. The Father God dwells in us of a truth. You see, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in us. So the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is what we know as the Trinity, or the Godhead, the three in one. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in us. So the message we have today, fathers and mothers, is let your mind be renewed to the fact that God has raised you from the dead, and you have the ability to step into freedom because God is in you. Let him out. That verse that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We always imagine in the picture on our wall, it was on most of our walls, and, you know, in our house somewhere, of Jesus knocking on the door, wanting in. I have said for some time that Jesus is knocking on your door, wanting out. The expression, the life of God that you have, needs to be expressed, and it can only be expressed when you embrace Jesus Christ and his work that he has done for you on the cross and resurrection. If you deny that, then you deny the life of God that you have been granted by the resurrection, and you will not experience the joys and the freedom of that price he paid for you until you acknowledge and receive the fact that he made a way for you to be free. And that is through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, fathers, before I close today, let me say this. The wisdom that you have from the Father is in you. It's already there as a seed. It's a seed. And the washing of the water of the word is like water being poured on the desert. You see, the desert has seeds in it, but it's dead until the water comes through. There's a great migration of water that comes down from the north part of Africa, and it takes several months to get from the mountains way off in other nations and comes through the north part of Africa and floods those desert areas and those desolate, dry areas. And within a matter of days, the blooms come, the animals come, the lakes and the fountains break forth. Why? Because the seed is in the soil, just like God's seed is in your soil. And it's the washing of the water. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the name of Jesus. It's the accepting of Christ by faith that is that water on the God seed that he has put in you. Amen. That's what the scripture means, that every man has been given a measure of faith. Every man on earth has the ability to say, yes, I open my heart to Jesus. See, that's as simple as it gets. Yes, I open my heart to Jesus. Happy Father's Day to you all. I bless you in Jesus' name, and I declare this is going to be the most wonderful year of your life as a father. I tell you, you have the wisdom from the Father. You have the strength of the Holy Ghost to do what's right, and you have the persistence of the angels of the Lord that walk with you and help you become the man that God called you to be. Amen. I bless you in Jesus' name. Well, we'll see you in the morning, Monday. Kick off another good week together. Thank you for your support in every level. Subscribe, hit the button, thumbs up, likes, friends, all the things that happen. Thank you for that. Your prayers are so important, and your comments that make me feel encouraged. Thank you for that. Some of you have been nudged by the Lord to send a gift. If God does that for you, right down below in the show notes, you'll find an email, a PayPal, or a snail mail address. God bless. Until tomorrow, in the morning, early, I say, be blessed. Be all that God's made you. Don't be intimidated, and don't be timid. God's got great things ahead.